Good morning, Your Honors.
Counsel.
May it please the court. We're here today on the question of whether or not a health care savings account is excluded from the bankruptcy estate, or in the alternative, exempt from the bankruptcy estate, or both. I think that the first and best argument that we've made about this is that it's excluded from the estate. My client, Mr. Leach, is a police officer with a political subdivision of the state of Minnesota. He has a health insurance plan through that employment. Through that employment, amounts are deducted from his paycheck and his employer contributes to a health care savings account. He has a high deductible health care savings account, or he has a high deductible health care insurance plan. So the way a high deductible health insurance plan works, some people have insurance plans that cover everything, and some people you have to meet a deductible, is you pay up to a certain amount of money and then the coverage kicks in. So in my case, that's the kind of plan my client has and his employer set it up. He the IRS has a circular on this, and it's important to point out that there's a couple different intersections of state and federal law here that I need to navigate through. So the first thing is this IRS circular and how it regulates these. It's IRS publication 969. Now, this publication says that you can only have a healthcare savings account if you have a high deductible insurance plan. So, but for having a high deductible insurance plan, a healthcare savings account would not exist. The other side of that is, presumably, if somebody had a Cadillac health insurance plan that covered every single thing, and they had a healthcare savings account, they could potentially run afoul of the IRS. And I don't know how the IRS would sort that out, but it would be in violation of these rules that have been set forth. So one of the questions that this is going to turn on in the here for the exclusion argument is, it says any, and I'm looking to section 541B7A2, and this excludes from the estate any amount withheld by an employer from the wages of employees for payment as contributions. And then two says, to a health insurance plan regulated by state law, whether or not subject to such a title. So it's important to say that, because the argument on the other side here is healthcare savings account is not insurance. It's not insurance. It's not part of state regulated health insurance plan. Well, it is, because but for a high deductible insurance plan, it would not exist. You could not have it. So
couldn't they have just said health savings account? Isn't that really what Congress should have done if they wanted that result?
Well, I think the permissive language is important, whether or not subject to such a title, which means whatever you call it,
And what title is that?
the title would be healthcare savings account, medical savings account. The Minnesota statute on it is Minnesota statute section 47.75. And this is the statute that had to be created so you could have healthcare savings accounts in the state of Minnesota. So this regulates financial institutions of various sorts could have these accounts, and it regulates these accounts. And I think they say whether or not subject to such a title, just so there wouldn't be any confusion that it, whatever it is, it's a
that phrase has caused us more confusion than it might have been intended to avoid.
It doesn't confuse me. I mean, I just...
Well, then, okay, back up and explain it to us again what it means, because it's going along and it's fine up until the point where it starts to say whether. From that point on, tell me what that whether clause means.
whether or not subject to such a title. It says, to a health insurance plan regulated by state law, whether or not subject to such a title. So I think the title that it's referring to is health insurance plan.
You're saying arose by any other name is still arose, yeah, is what that means.
Yeah, it's just... It's,
what about the subject to part? That to me suggests that we're talking about the law, not the name of the account. Yeah, see our point of our confusion?
and is such title, you're saying such title is state law regulating health savings accounts?
Yeah, it's, I think to a health insurance plan, whether or not subject to such a title. Because I guess the question is, what does title refer to? And I think title refers to...
the name of the account. You're saying that, yeah, that what that means is, regardless of what it's called, yes, as long as it's subject to state law regulation, then it's covered.
Yes.
Or excluded, I should say.
And this is an important distinction that I wanted to talk about. So the honorable judge below, she said, hey, you know, this isn't regulated by state law. This state law only regulates, you know, how the account is handled. Well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't say in here, like, what kind of regulation. It doesn't say, you know, how many wheelchairs you can buy or how much diabetic supplies you can use. It's a state regulation, and if you look through the history of it that I briefed of how these were set up, they had to get these state laws passed for whatever reason, so you could have these healthcare savings accounts in the various states.
Mr. Hansen, in light of somewhat of the confusion we've had here, haven't health savings accounts been around several years now?
I think since 2003.
Okay.
Yeah,
so,
I think it's 2003.
So if they've,
that's what I briefed there.
If they've been authorized since 2003, have you come across any other case law dealing with whether or not health savings accounts are exempted from state law?
No.
Or from the bankruptcy estate?
No, that's what we're here to make.
Because I didn't see any citations in your...
No, I didn't. Briefing. I haven't. There's not a lot. There's not a lot in this area. This idea that I about the exclusion from the estate came through a fellow NACPA member out of Oregon. And there's no case law on it there, but they've been doing this with success in Oregon and making this argument, but it hasn't been litigated. It's not part of the record, but that's the best information I have about that. The other argument I wanted to make, so it is regulated by state law. It wouldn't exist but for a high deductible health insurance plan. Some of my colleagues I've discussed this with think that it's real important that he works for a political subdivision of the state of Minnesota. That is a way you could go with it. However, I think that anybody who has a healthcare savings account and a high deductible insurance plan, this should apply to all of them. There shouldn't be some special class of people. The other argument I made is my exemption argument, and I think that one's the best exemption argument is that it's exempt under 522.10c, which is the debtor's right to receive a disability, illness, or unemployment benefit. And the honorable judge below, she made a distinction and said, well, you could use this account for well child visits, and you could use it for, you know, preventative care. And I just don't think that there's any reason to read such a distinction into that statute, into this exemption. It doesn't say anything there. It just says a disability, illness, or unemployment benefit.
Well, but it also says right to receive, which to me suggests that we're talking about some future event. Hasn't your client already received the funds or being held in this account for the purpose of meeting deductible in large part? Where's the right to receive?
Well, if you have your healthcare savings account and you have money in it, you have a right to take the money out of the account and use it to pay for your child care or the child care of your dependents.
Certainly, but where's the right to receive? I mean, to me, again, we're talking about a future event. You don't have the money yet. You're going to get the money in the event one of those enumerated things occur.
Isn't the account titled in the debtor's name?
Yes.
And so she's already received it.
It would be your right to go get the money out.
Okay, but that's not a right to receive. There's a distinction there. They chose the word carefully. They chose the word right to receive, not right to use. Debtors already received the money.
I don't. I would have to respectfully disagree with this distinction.
Okay.
I think that if it's sitting in an account and it's a special account regulated by state law, you can go receive that money. It's sitting in a special account for you. It's your right to get that money out of it. Your right to receive it.
But who's actually the owner of the account? Is it the debtor or is it the fiduciary who handles it?
Well, the fiduciary handles it, but the debtor, it's the account is in the debtor's name.
The debtor's the owner of the account, so the debtor's already received it.
Well, it's being held for them. They've received it, and they can receive it again.
Okay.
I've reserved 5 minutes for rebuttal. I see my time is up.
Thank you.
Let's see if I can use my time. Thank you so much, Your Honor.
Thank you. Mr. Candy, am I pronouncing that correctly? There's not an emphasis on a different syllable than I'm using?
Candy on the second
cell. Candy, okay.
Either way is fine. Good morning. May it please the court. I represent Julia Christians, the Chapter 7 trustee in this case. In this appeal, which is, I think, very straightforward due to the absence of factual disputes and the plain language of the statutes at issue, this court is being asked to answer two questions. First, is the debtor's health savings account property of the estate? And second, are the funds in that account exempt under two specific exemptions? On both questions, at this juncture, the debtor bears the intermediate burden to show that he is correct and entitled to the exclusion and the exemption. The bankruptcy court, after hearing from both sides at length, concluded that the debtor failed to meet his intermediate burden. Now, before getting into the treatment, or more accurately, the non-treatment of health savings accounts in the bankruptcy code, I think it's important to understand what health savings accounts are and what they are not. They were created, as we've noted, by Congress in 2003. They are self-settled trust accounts, most often a bank deposit account, that the employee can put his own funds into and then deduct that amount from his taxable income, or that the owner's employer can put funds into, which is then non-taxable income for the owner. Now, importantly, you can only open a health savings account if you already have health insurance. It's a specific kind of insurance called a high-deductible health plan. And the account is supposed to be used to pay for medical expenses that aren't covered by the owner's insurance. And I say supposed to be used for a good reason, and that's because the owner has total control of the account. He's both the trustee and the beneficiary of it. The bank custodian doesn't check up on what the owner does with the money. If the owner doesn't use the account for qualified expenses, he has to pay taxes and a penalty. But that's purely a matter between the account owner and the IRS. And in this case, the debtor, Mr. Leach, had just over $8,000 of funds in a health savings account on the day he filed his Chapter 7 case. And so with that context, I'd like to talk about the law. The first question is whether the debtor's health savings account is property of the estate. And the answer is yes, as Judge Sandberg concluded. It is property of the estate. This is a question purely of federal bankruptcy law, and property of the estate is defined intentionally broad. Under 541A1, it's all legal or equitable interests of the debtor in property as of the commencement of the case. And the debtor here is not disputing that his health savings account would fall within the reach of 541A unless one of the statutory exclusions applied. And exclusions, of course, must be construed narrowly. Here, the debtor's contending his health savings account is excluded under 541B7A2, which excludes any amount withheld by an employer from the wages of employees for payments as contributions to a health insurance plan regulated by state law, whether or not subject to such title. According to the debtor, because his health savings account is meant to be used in conjunction or in tandem with his existing health insurance, the account itself constitutes a health insurance plan. Now, the debtor's correct that he can only have this account if he's covered by health insurance, but that doesn't mean his health savings account actually is health insurance. It means the opposite. By making a high-deductible health insurance plan a requirement to ever getting a health savings account in the first place, Congress was pretty clear that health insurance plans and health savings accounts, they're not the same thing. They work together. And if we look at Minnesota state law, we see that a health savings account is not a health insurance plan. As we've discussed, the statutory exclusion only applies to a health insurance plan regulated by state law. And here's how Minnesota defines a health plan. It's a policy that, quote, insures against loss or damage by the sickness, bodily injury, or death by accident of the assured. There's no definition in state law, in federal law, that would make a health savings account a health insurance plan. It's just an account where a person parks his money to be used at a later date to pay his medical expenses that are not already covered by his insurance. And in his briefing, the debtor asks an interesting, I guess, rhetorical question. He says, well, if the exclusion of Section 541B7A2 doesn't mean health savings accounts, then what could the statute possibly be referring to? And for starters, it doesn't mean a health savings account. If Congress had intended this to apply to health savings accounts, Congress would have just said health savings accounts. It's important to remember that these accounts had been in existence for 2 years before Congress amended Section 541 with the BAP-CEPA amendments in 2005. And the predecessors, Archer Medical Savings Accounts, they were around for about a decade before that. Yet Congress did not exclude health savings accounts from property of the estate, as it had done for 529 plans, for ERISA employee benefits, and Section 403 plans. And in fact, Congress was so familiar with health savings accounts that it called them out by name in a different part of the code. In the means test of Section 707, Congress expressly stated that a debtor's monthly expenses, quote, shall include reasonably necessary health insurance, disability insurance, and health savings account expenses. So Congress understood health insurance existed, health savings accounts existed, and that they were not the same thing. Congress knew that these accounts existed, it just chose not to protect them. But to answer the question, what does this exclusion apply to? It applies to contributions to pay health insurance premiums, very much as it sounds. The reality is many employers withhold or deduct a portion of their employees' wages to pay the employees' insurance premiums. That withholding likely happens every paycheck, which might be weekly, might be twice a month, but many employers don't remit those premiums to the insurance company until the end of the month. So this statute protects an employee's money that's being held by his employer to pay his health insurance premiums. If the employee files for bankruptcy on the last day of the month, his employer is holding a chunk of the debtor's money. And the exclusion protects the employee from having his insurance premiums and therefore his health insurance confiscated.
So you're saying it only applies to funds that are still in the hands of the employer that have not yet been paid to the insurance company?
That is correct, Judge Federman. That is how I would
interpret it. So by analogy to the health savings account, those funds have already been paid into the fund by the employer. They're not in the hands of the employer anymore.
Correct. And that's an important distinction between who owns it and where the money ultimately ends up. With the health savings account, it was always the debtor's money in the form of his wages. It just got shifted to a different pot, the health savings account that he owns, whereas in the case of health insurance premiums, the employer's holding it, I guess, in some sort of quasi-trust to fund the health insurance.
And once he pays it on, once the employer pays it on, you don't need the protection anymore because the insurance company now has it.
Insurance has it. Insurance coverage continues through the employer. And it also applies, I think, in the converse, which is if the employer files for bankruptcy before the end of the month, then its employees' health insurance premiums can't be taken for the benefit of other creditors. It is set aside or protected. So the employees maintain health coverage. And that's the purpose of this statute. It's not to protect a health savings bank account that a debtor such as Mr. Leach can just write checks on.
Well, how do you answer Mr. Hansen's argument, which I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I think his argument is that the exclusion is for a health insurance plan, not health insurance, but a health insurance plan, and that the HSAs are part of the overall plan because you have the HSA and the health insurance policy, which together constitute the health insurance plan. I think that's what he was trying to tell us. How do you respond to that?
Well, I would respond to that by first of all, agreeing in the abstract that health insurance and health savings are part of a larger plan. And it, now that we're using the word plan a lot, I wish there were a better word to describe this regimen or scheme or however you want it to be. But the specific term that the statute uses in 541 is a health insurance plan. So insurance is the focus there. But moreover, health plan itself has its own term of art meaning that is defined in both federal law and state law. In the health savings account statute, it does refer to health plans, which is an insurance plan. In the state statutes, it says health plan is a policy of insurance. So health plan, it has to be restricted to the health insurance plan. Someone should coin a better term to describe this broader structure that covers health insurance, health savings accounts, having a good diet and exercise. I mean, those are all parts of maintaining your health. So in sum, I don't see that the debtor's health savings account qualifies for this exclusion or any other exclusion from property of the estate, and so it must be considered property of the estate. And the second question we're here today on is whether the debtor's health savings account is exempt. The debtor's elected federal exemptions, and he has asserted that there are two exemptions that apply to the money that isn't already covered by the wild card. That's 522D10C, which provides an unlimited exemption for a debtor's right to receive a disability, illness, or unemployment benefit. And the other is 522D11D, which permits debtors to exempt payments on account of personal bodily injury. The debtor can't fulfill either of these. The biggest reason, as you discussed earlier, is this is not a benefit. Money parked in a savings account to write a check on later, that's not a benefit. That's not what Congress intended when it wrote 522D10C or the rest of 522D10. Benefit has a pretty common understanding, and even if there was some ambiguity or uncertainty in the meaning, and I don't think there is, Congress explained very precisely that benefit means income replacement. In the House report accompanying the 1978 enactment, it says paragraph 10, that's of section 522D, exempts certain benefits that are akin to future earnings of the debtor. And that's just not true of the debtor's money he's parked in a savings account. It's not replacement income. It's just a cost to frame it. Two courts, the only two that I believe that have analyzed this in depth, in Henry Sanchez out of Michigan and in Henry Jones out of the bankruptcy court in Kansas, echoed this language. And the court in Jones said an exemption under 522D10C, that's the very exemption here, requires the benefit to be received as payment in lieu of future earnings of a debtor whose ability to generate future earnings has been reduced or lost because of disability, illness, or unemployment. So very clearly this bank account is not covered by this exemption. And the second exemption is 522D11, which permits a limited exemption to a right to receive payments or property on account of personal bodily injury. This fails for multiple reasons. The first, as is true of 522D10C, this is meant to provide or protect a future income stream, in this instance, occasioned by a personal bodily injury. As Judge Sandberg observed, the debtor didn't receive this money because of a personal bodily injury. While perhaps he or his children may be injured in the future, that's not the same as receiving the money because they had been injured. And third, by its express terms, the exemption of 522D11D does not apply to what the debtor actually states he's going to use the account for, and that's to pay his medical bills. The statute expressly excludes, quote, compensation for actual pecuniary loss, which Congress explained in the legislative report, quote, is not intended to include the attendant costs that accompany such a loss, such as medical payments. So the very reason on which the debtor attempts to shoehorn his health savings account into this exemption, Congress already said that's a wholly impermissible use. And, of course, that's in addition to the other reasons this exemption is not applicable. In sum, for all the reasons that we've talked about today and in the trustee's written brief, the bankruptcy court was correct that the debtor's health savings account is property of the estate. The funds in that account, to the extent they're not already protected by the debtor's wild card, are not exempt. And if the court has no other questions, I will conclude by asking this court to affirm the bankruptcy court.
Thank you, Mr. Candy. Mr. Hansen, you've got a little over 4 minutes left, it looks like.
Thank you, Your Honor's counsel. Just a couple things I want to talk about here. I think for the exemption argument, I want to go to that real quick. I think we need to look at what the court found, what the findings were. She says about 522D10C, she says, here the savings account is not a right to receive for future benefit. Rather, those funds are on deposit in a savings account. While they may be limited without being taxed in terms of being used for medical reasons, it's not an account of disability, illness, or benefit. And she says it could it would simply be a tax on it. It could be used for well baby checkups or other types of checkups that are not illness, disability, or employment. The court was trying to make a distinction here about health care. I mean, this is whatever your health is, it's a broad spectrum of things. And I think that it is correct that this is also part of a plan. The plan is this: you have a job here, you work for me as a cop, or maybe you're self-employed. You have money in here, you spend that up to the amount of your deductible, and then the rest of your coverage kicks in. This is clear. I mean, the idea that Congress didn't intend to protect healthcare savings account, I just don't see any evidence of that anywhere. I think how many different ways, by exclusion or by exemption, did Congress want to do that? You know, keep this away from the hands of a bankruptcy trustee.
Well, what do you say about the argument under 707 when Congress specifically used the phrase in connection with health insurance plan? We talked about health insurance and we talked about health savings accounts. Why would they use different words?
I think that helps my argument, because that means it's a health insurance plan. They've said it's part of the same thing.
So if I refer to the appellant and the appellee in the same sentence, I'm referring to the same person?
No, I think that the inclusion of that in the same area on the means test bolsters my argument. It's part of the same thing.
Well, why would they need to say health savings plan if it was already included in health insurance plan, or health savings account if it were already included in health insurance plan? Why would they need to say that? Your argument is it is a health insurance plan. Why would they need to separately identify it as a deduction?
Well, I wasn't there while they were, you know, making...
Well, you would agree that the exclusion section would apply to the premiums that are being held, health insurance premiums that are being held by an employer, would you not?
The premiums that employers would pay toward
an employer is holding. Right. As Mr. Candy discussed.
Well, sure, that would be. That would be in addition to the...
So you're saying it's broader than just that.
Yeah,
it also includes health savings accounts, but I think the point is they could have said and health savings accounts and didn't.
I would be hard-pressed to imagine any member of Congress of any party who would believe that somebody's health care savings account should be taken by a bankruptcy trustee. So I think all this talk about what Congress maybe intended or whatever like that, let's think really what Congress would intend. Let's ask any member of Congress of any party, do you think that a bankruptcy trustee should get a health care savings account? Here's somebody who's doing the responsible thing. They're going to pay for their own health care.
But that's not what, I mean, legislative history is legislative history. It's not based on what some congressman says.
Yeah.
You really haven't pointed to anything explaining why they used health savings accounts in 707B2, but didn't use that term here, and that's what's got.
I think they'd probably just, figured it was covered by health insurance plan, because I mean it's. Yeah, I think the language was already there broad enough. I mean, you need to say health insurance plan and a healthcare savings account and a medical savings account. Because the Minnesota statute refers to medical savings accounts. So some places call them medical savings accounts. That's why the Minnesota statute does. That's why they say whatever the title is, that's what it is. So I'd respectfully request that you find that it's excluded or exempt. And thank you so much, Your Honors and Counsel.
Thank you, Mr. Hansen.